Well, good morning, Countryside Covenant Church. Hey, it is great to have all of you here today. And if you're following us on our live stream, welcome to you as well. And it's always great to have you here in person when you can make it. A lot can happen in a week. It could be 97 degrees out one day and 37 degrees the next day. Back up to the 80s the next day, and back down to the 30s the following day, to getting burnt on a soccer field watching your kid play soccer. Okay, so a lot can happen in a week. You could be struggling financially and then hit it big, winning the lottery, just to lose all that money again, because we all know that if you play the lottery, you're not already handling your finances very well. It's the worst place to invest, but that's another sermon. But you could be having straight A's, and then you get your midterms grades back from the test, and you've got a couple of C's now. A lot can happen in a week. Laughter can turn into sorrow, and laughter into mourning, into tears, and excitement turning into terror just in a moment. But also despair can turn into great hope in moments as well. It is Palm Sunday, and we're going to celebrate this morning. We get to witness and be a part of the sacrament of baptism today, and celebrating with those not only in the first service but this service as well, of the profession of faith that they have made in Jesus Christ. And next week in Easter, we're going to get to come together again and celebrate the sacrament of communion. So I'd encourage you to come back on Easter Sunday for that. Jesus entered Jerusalem this week, and everybody was excited, except for the Romans and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. But the crowds, they were thrilled to see Jesus. Jesus was generous. Jesus had fed 5,000 people plus at one point, and then later on, he had fed another 4,000 people. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. He had healed people who were sick. People were excited, except for some other folks. So as we hear in John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19, it says, "The next day, a great crowd that had come from the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming on a donkey's colt.' And at first, his disciples did not understand all this. It was only after Jesus was glorified that they realized that these things had been written about him, and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. And many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, 'See, this is getting us nowhere. Look, the whole world has gone after him.'" A bit of foreshadowing about the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin wanting to get rid of Jesus. But what about this crowd? They were praising Jesus, laying down palm branches onto the ground, laying their cloaks on the ground, not kicking up dust when Jesus was going to ride in, honoring Jesus. And then, not too much longer, in John chapter 19, verse 6, it says the Jewish leaders were yelling, "Crucify him." And then in Matthew chapter 27, 20 through 26, which Lizzie preached on last week about about Jesus going before Pilate. It says the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. And Pilate says, which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. Well, what shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? Pilate said, and they all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the more loudly, crucify him. And when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. And all the people answered, his blood is on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Now, you've got this big mob mentality, crucify him, crucify him. I can just imagine there was probably one person in the back, maybe not very loud, and they're like, I was saying release Jesus of Nazareth. But, you know, he gets shouted down. One moment, that was a joke. One moment you're enjoying a Passover meal with your disciples. Your disciples are getting to appreciate you and share this meal, this wonderful time, and everything is great. If you're Peter and you say, Jesus, of course, I would never deny you. I am going to follow you all the way to the ends of the earth. It's impossible. I would never deny you. But yet, not even a full day later, there you are denying that you even know Jesus three times. In fact, Peter was convinced, I'm never going to deny you, Jesus. He even whipped out a sword and cut off one of the servant's ears of the guard. And then what happened? The disciples all ran off. And Peter was confronted and said, I don't even know the man. This is all of us. This is all of us. How many times have I or have you said to God, look, I swear I'm never going to do this again, or I feel so terribly about this, and I promise I'm never going to behave this way ever again, only to find yourself maybe an hour or two later, or a day later, doing the exact same thing. So, that's all of us. It's all of us. Jesus, I will never backslide again. I will be committed to you. Just to find ourselves crawling back to what we had sworn off. I had the opportunity when I was stationed at Fort Lee, Virginia. I don't even know the name of the post now because of all the changes of the names, whatever. But I got stationed there a couple of times, and part of my job doing logistics for the Army was to oversee parachute packing or rigging. And so as I got a crash course in parachute rigging, okay, I learned of the great attention to detail that these Army riggers had to do, and they had to learn how to do it quickly. There was a time that each one was expected to complete a parachute completely and test it or whatever there to make sure it was good. What I also learned is that when they are with their units, and in fact, when they are in the school learning how to do parachute rigging and as well as other aerial delivery rigging, is that at any moment, their sergeant could come up to them and say, hey, troop, the parachute that you just packed two iterations ago, you're going to jump with that one this afternoon. At any given moment, that rigger, pucker factor goes up quite a bit, but there's a lot of nervousness going on. Did I do everything that I was supposed to do? Did I pay attention? But they have to take their work seriously because their own life depends on it, and it's purposeful. And then we say we trust Jesus, but it really isn't until we decide to jump out of the airplane. Did we really trust? Did we really put our trust in that thing? It isn't until we jump out of the plane in life, until we have fully trusted Jesus, when we have nothing else to rely on, no one else to rely on, it is only Jesus. That is when our faith is in action. A lot can happen in a week. When I was in seminary, There was a couple that we had met. I didn't know them very well at the time, but they were excited about having their firstborn and really excited, and they went to the hospital and found out that this child was stillborn and died. And they came back to the seminary a couple of days later, obviously mourning and just grieving this loss, to coming home to an empty apartment and an apartment with unopened presents and balloons and an empty crib. A lot can happen in just a moment or in just a week. Maybe we only get one opportunity in our lives to demonstrate how much faith do we really have in Jesus. How much do we really trust him? And we're given those opportunities, and will we step up? For Peter, who told Jesus, "I will follow you to the very ends of the earth, and I will never deny you," denying Jesus three times in less than a day. The one who Jesus said, "Peter, on you, this rock, I will build my church." A man who had walked with Jesus for 3 years, confessing that he is the Messiah. He is the good teacher. He is the one. And then later on denies him. Jesus, yet, did not give up on Peter. He did not give up on Peter, and Jesus does not give up on us. We are the ones that give up on us. Jesus does not reject us. We reject ourselves. We lie to ourselves and we say, there is no way that God could possibly redeem this situation. There is no way why Jesus would save me, or I am irredeemable. God's grace is not good enough to cover this aspect in my life. And we are the ones who speak those lies into our life, influenced by Satan. But Jesus didn't give up on Peter, and he's not going to give up on you either. When Jesus came and he gave us life and he came into Jerusalem knowing that he was entering in Jerusalem to do the very thing that he had been sent to do, which was to give his life as a ransom, to give his life as an atoning sacrifice for us. And he did it willingly because he loved us so much. We are in Holy Week right now. This is Holy Week. Today is Palm Sunday, and we got to sing Hosanna. And we know that we were probably a part of some of that crowd that yelled, "Crucify him." But we celebrate today that Jesus came into Jerusalem and did exactly what he was called to do. He did not deviate from the plan, and he remained faithful to the Father. On Thursday, we remember the time that Jesus celebrated the Last Supper with his disciples, and that he was arrested that evening and taken away. He was flogged. He was beaten. He was spit upon. And then on Friday, we will come together here again on Friday evening, and we will remember the crucifixion. We'll remember that Jesus went to the cross and died for us, that he erased the sins in our lives once and for all for those who have put their faith and trust in him. You're going to hear how the curtain in the temple was torn into half, demonstrating that there is no longer a barrier between God the Father and humanity, that Jesus became that intermediary person. And so I would really encourage all of you to come back. And then on Saturday, we wait in hopeful expectation of what we know will happen on Easter, the time that Jesus rose from the dead to give us new life, defeating death once and for all. So I'd encourage all of us to continue to celebrate this week, to mourn together, and then to come back and celebrate once again together.